Hello everybody and welcome back to Wikipedia Wanderers. It's the final episode before Christmas and I'm joined, well, by Josh, like normal. So, are you ready for Christmas? Are you excited?
Pretty ready. Got some bit more wrapping to do, but yeah, I'm excited. I enjoy the period.
Bit more wrapping?
Yeah, a bit more wrapping. I reckon I do 90% of my socialising at Christmas, which is always nice.
That's... No, I don't believe that. 90% of your socialising?
Just chucked a stat out there, but... Not sure it's true, but it feels like a lot. On Thursday, I went out for lunch and dinner. Went out.
Yeah, but 90... No, you can't do 90% of your year's socialising at over Christmas. Actually, and what are you classing as over Christmas? I'm getting into this now. What are you classing as
I would
over
say
Christmas?
Anything in December. Now, that can't be right, actually, because that means like I'll probably go out about 9 times. I can't be go out once more in the other 11 months.
Yeah, I think next year you need to track this.
Two.
And we need a percentage. Because I think it would be higher. I think it's higher, but I don't think it's 90% of your year's socialising. I would say it's probably like 40% of all your year's socialising.
Yeah. In one month.
Yeah. In 1 month, yeah. In 1 month.
Would you'd say yours is more of an even keel, quickly, would you say?
Yeah, I think mine's a bit more even, being based in a different country to most of my home friends and family. But saying that, you know, went out today.
Whoa.
I've been out last week. I went out midweek. No, I'd say it'd be more. Yeah, I'd say it'd be more as well for me, Christmas time. So everyone always gets together. It's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, Christmas. And as always, I'm a big fan. Lots of football on, which is great.
And lots of football on. And today, Josh, I'm quizzing you. Quizzy quiz quiz. We love a quiz.
Tell me about it.
I mean, whenever I come back to the UK and I'm down in Folkestone, we normally go to a pub quiz and suck massively. But
you're up against, you know, the Saga generation, the 60 plus. They go there every week. They know they're well oiled. They've tailored their team for the needs. We're just rocking up, trying to scrounge some answers off the quizmaster.
That's true. That's very true. Go to subject or preferred subject other than sport or football?
Film and TV.
Oh.
Or. Okay. Geography, you kind of have capital cities and countries, which is also normally I've learned it from football.
Yeah, okay. Geography as a quiz subject is, I think it's a tough one for me because I always think it will be around capitals and cities and countries, but it's normally like, how long is the Panama Canal?
It's true. How long is it?
No idea. A couple of K?
No, we've got to be like...
A mile?
No, I'm thinking like 30K. Maybe longer.
Honestly, I don't know.
What's your guess?
I don't know. It'll be on Wikipedia. My actual guess is probably... Well, it cuts through a whole country, so I'm going to go like 65 kilometres.
That's not really bad. It's in miles at the moment, so 82 kilometres.
Okay, not bad.
It's not an embarrassing answer.
No, not an embarrassing answer. I don't think it would win me top prize in a pub quiz, but...
No, if that was like, that'd be like the decider, wouldn't it? Like the...
What's it called? Not the lightning round. It's the... Yeah, anyway, that thing. Yeah.
What's it called?
I mean, he's thrown a shoe over a pub. What have you done? So... Right, quiz. I've written you, I think I said 16 questions, because that's obviously classic for a quiz.
Yeah, 16. Textbook. You know your quizzes.
I mean, I got to 15 and didn't think that was enough and then did 16 and went, that's probably one too many. So, yeah. But it's a quiz, Josh, on football in this calendar year, 2023. A few questions chucked in from podcast episodes that we've done.
Yep.
Not too many on them, but just to test your knowledge of how much you're actually paying attention to my dulcet tones when we talk. And finally, there's a couple in there for the World Cup.
This time last year.
This time last year, we just looked it up, right? The World Cup final was tomorrow, technically. Tomorrow, 366 days ago, the World Cup final was. And how different it could have been. Yeah, 365 days in a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, add one.
No, take one.
Because it's No, take... it's tomorrow, Josh.
Yeah, but it was a day sooner than... You go back 365 days, it was 17th of December last year. But you only have to go back a day less to get to the 18th.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Yeah!
Oh, Jesus Christ. He's nailed it. All right, question one. In an earlier episode, we made our complete strikers after Erling Haaland scored 50 goals quicker than anybody else in the Premier League. Controversially, I picked a winger for Pace. Who was it?
Gareth Bale?
It was Gareth Bale. Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was Gareth Bale. I mean, there are plenty of other options we could have.
I was thinking Arjen Robben was actually came into my head as when you think quick Ooh. Winger was actually Arjen Robben and also kind of being very good. Was the first person that came into my head. The quickest winger?
The quickest, well, Dennis Romadar was the quickest winger.
Yeah.
The quick and good, that's a different question.
Yeah.
I mean, Mbappe? How quick is Mbappe? Do we know he's actually quick?
I'd love to see actual races, like a sprint race between players or versus someone in a different domain. Like you know, I don't know, what's his name? Noah Lyle, the US sprinter? Just to see where they're at. Because I reckon they're way off.
Yeah, I think they're way off 100 meter sprinter as well. Mm. But you've always been a sort of advocate for like a combine, haven't you?
Oh,
like
Like
get all the footballers together, who can jump the highest, who's got the longest standing jump, who's got the fastest pace, the longest kick, the hardest kick.
I fully believe that, at the start of each season, we should have everybody's stats and it would make football games more accurate.
Oh, it would, yeah, it would.
It would maybe take a little bit away, like teams could plan for something. Like they come up against a winger, they might not know, a newly promoted side, they might go, oh, well, he's quick, watch out for that, or he's got a good jump on him. But just seeing all those stats and, you know, look at this player, oh my goodness, he's actually this quick, and, or Christ, he can kick it that hard, that's amazing.
Do you think it would lead to more, in inverted commas, interesting transfers? So if there was someone really, really rapid in, like, the Vanarama National League North, like for Folkestone and Victor, let's say, they've got
exactly.
a rapid
Yeah, exactly, you
standardise
this throughout the whole, every league has got exactly the same tests.
Yeah, and they have a really rapid player. Do you reckon someone then, like, in the Championship picks him up just because he's rapid and they think they can improve the rest of his technical ability?
Yeah, I think so, because the amount of data at those levels will be less, won't it, in terms of, you know, tracking the players and you know, the distance they run. But by doing this in pre-season, bam.
Okay.
It's honestly a program in itself as well.
It is a good
start
TV program.
Start it at a lower level, maybe. Start it at a league that wants to, well, a conference league or something like that. And then everybody at home could also, like amateur footballers can go, I'm better than so-and-so at a combine. You can go, you send your stats in or something to a club. I don't know. Just
so someone listening here is going to pick that up and take that to TV. BT Sport, probably. They love nicking ideas.
Which footballer would you have presenting it, then?
Recently announced that he's leaving Match of the Day, Ian Wright.
Ian Wright's leaving Match of the Day, is he?
Yeah, he announced it today. Yeah, sorry to break that to you, Josh. Yeah, I'd pick him because I think he was a bit of he was a really good player that was an all rounder. Like he didn't have outstanding pace, didn't have outstanding attributes, but did everything very well, and is a very good presenter and personality, funny. I like him anyway. Yeah, so Ian Wright would be my go-to. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. For the English audience, then you'd need a Frenchman to do it in France, German. Oh, it'd be global, Josh. It'd be amazing.
It would be global. I'm trying to go name. I haven't got one.
Okay, question.
You know what came into my head? Combine Harvester. That's what came into my head, but that's not good enough.
No, that is not good enough. That is not good enough. Combine Stats Harvester. The Combine... Let's forget about the word combine. We'll come back to that. That'll be question 17 at the end. Okay. Right, you're one for one. Staying on strikers after making our complete forward, strikers are obviously key in football. I didn't know if you knew that, but strikers are pretty important in football.
Do they score the goals?
Well,
is that what they do.
They should do. How many league goals in the calendar year has Richarlison scored?
Oh, is this as of the time of writing? So his goal Nottingham Forest is included in this?
I think it is included in this because I wrote this today. So, but I may have got... you got plus or minus one.
Okay. So I think he's got four so far this season. I'm going to guess maybe two. So I'm going to guess six.
He has scored four in this calendar year, so you would have been correct with five, but you went with six.
I added one for good measure.
Yeah, he scored. He scored four, and they've all been this season. He didn't score any in the league last year.
Did he not? So, quickly on Richarlison, he just recently had some surgery done on an ongoing pelvic issue, which had been hampering for like the last 18 months. Only took him like a month to recover. So, it looked like we tried to explore lots of physiotherapy options, but he genuinely looks like a different player. Then he moves so much more freely. Previously, he looks like not running through Treacle, but it looked like, oh, I thought he was quicker. Yeah. And since then, he's just, well, he's scored three goals since he's come back, and he's going to get a lot of chances. If he plays striker in Spurs' side, he's going to get a lot of chances. So I genuinely think there's a player there. He's scored more goals than, you know, Gabriel Jesus, Martinelli, a number of different players so far this season. He's got, I think, four goals and three assists in like nine starts in so far in the Premier League. So, yeah, I'm not saying I'm a massive fan. I think he slows the play and he isn't the best at linking up the ball, but he tries very hard. He gets him as right. He's actually deceptively good at heading the ball, reasonably two-footed. So there's definitely, it wouldn't be my overall choice for a forward, but I think he can get to double figures this season, for sure.
Yeah, sounds good. I mean, I remember watching him in pre-season for Spurs, and he seemed to suit the Ange Postecoglou system for running, pressing and getting in the box at the right time, whereas Harry Kane was dropping off too much and too much in the build-up. But yeah, interesting. Question three. We're moving on to someone who actually we spoke about in the what I'd call the prelude, the warm-up, where we have a quick catch-up and stuff. And you told me that Emi Martinez is known by a different name that I didn't know.
Yeah, he's got a nickname, Dibu, D-I-B-U. I did read what it was, but I'm not quite sure now. I was going to say cartoon character, but that feels too similar to Aguero and Kun.
Right.
But yeah, known as Dibu, which makes me like him even less.
Well, he got the Golden Glove at the World Cup, right? Which is a coveted award in football. Like, all the goalkeepers want it. If you're at the World Cup, you want the Golden Glove. You want to be the best goalkeeper. Another one is the Young Player of the Tournament. Who won that in Qatar?
That was a £100 million man. Now plays in Chelsea's midfield, Enzo Fernandez.
It was, correct. So, two from three. Thoughts on Enzo Fernandez, do you think?
Meh.
Meh?
Just a bit meh. Meh. He's okay, yeah.
Okay.
It's all skewed. It's all skewed from the prices that Chelsea have played. You kind of, there's an expectation that comes with it, which he's a good player. I mean, it's crazy what, was it Benfica? The kind of the transfer went from like, I don't know, 10 million to 100 million in like a year. So,
yeah.
So it adds a weight of expectation. But yeah, a good player, I think.
Okay.
But no, I don't foresee him being a world beater, being like we're talking about Enzo Fernandez being the greatest centre mid. I don't foresee that.
No. Okay. Well, I mean, 100 million doesn't get you the greatest anymore, does it? It's turning into a bit of an average fee.
Yeah.
Which is a worry. Anyway, next question. We are heading back to the podcast, Josh. And you picked a topic, which was to name an 11 of David's or Dave's or David's and things like that. And everything to do with Dave. Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah.
And we managed to do it. We picked an 11, you know, and there was some vetoes in there for David Dunn. And I tried my hardest to get David May in the back four, but I think he eventually got booted out for... David Alaba, I think, is who we converted into a centre-back.
That's fair.
Yeah. But I picked out a standout left winger who I was adamant to get in my team.
So the first name that comes into my head is David Ginola. But I don't think that is... I don't think that's it for some reason.
Right. I'll wait until you're ready for a final answer. There's no rush. It's a bit like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, isn't it? It's like I'm going to let you think about it and mull it over in your head, and then I'll ask you for a final answer in a minute. I just won't be a knob like Jeremy Clarkson.
Yeah, don't be like Jeremy Clarkson.
Well, they're talking to Jeremy Clarkson. Clarkson's Farm was very good.
I haven't watched any of it because I kind of avoided him a bit. So I'm not really, I can't really think of many other left wingers, if I'm honest. David Bellion is a name, that's a right winger, and you're not going to be pushing really hard to get him in there. So I'm going to go with David Ginola.
I don't think David Bellion was even in discussion. I don't think he was brought up in that podcast. But you are correct. Right. It is David Ginola. It is, yeah, David Ginola with the hair, as I used to call him, because... He was the first male L'Oreal Pantene Pro V advert, I think, where he had his lush, flowing.
He's worth it. So we probably mixed about three different brands in one there. Probably, yeah. Maybe he's born with it.
Maybe. Who knows? But it was David Ginola. So well done. Well done, Josh. Well done for remembering.
Great player.
Yeah.
Love that player.
Sticking with the podcast, I think it was the next episode. We had an episode on emergency goalkeepers. Remember this one? We were saying how fun it is to see an outfield player go in goal. Can you name me three outfielders that ended in goal in the Premier League?
John O'Shea.
Correct.
I think I was against Tottenham for Man United and inexplicably I got like one shot on target in like 20 minutes against him.
Yeah, and he saved it.
Kyle Walker.
Kyle Walker is correct, yeah.
I'm thinking Wayne Rooney just liked to go in goal in training.
I'll give you a hint here. It's not Wayne Rooney. He just liked to go in goal in training. Yeah.
Yeah, just didn't have the balls for it to go in a match.
That's I don't think you take off your someone like that. Although saying that, one of the people that was, he was very much a talisman that went in goal. Well, it might have been an FA Cup game, but I'll give it to you if you get it right.
Did John Terry go in goal?
John Terry did go in goal, yeah. John Terry, that's not who I was thinking of, but John Terry did go in goal, yeah.
Who are you thinking of?
Harry Kane.
Oh, yeah, he went in a Europa League match. Yeah, I thought that one, but yeah.
So
he let in a very easy goal.
Yes, he did. Free kick, wasn't it?
It was he'd already scored a hat-trick, so he already had some credit in the bank.
So he had two. He ended with two goals in the game.
Would you reckon it would be quite nice if goals were like that? Net goals?
Well, no, because a goalkeeper would end on always be minus. Long way.
Tough shit.
Well, yeah, true.
They were never vying for the golden boot anyway.
That's true. They weren't, yeah.
Actually, Rogério Ceni and José Luis Chilavert might be a bit fuming at that.
Oh, there's some names. José Luis Chilavert was... I can remember used to sign him on, like, early FMs, maybe late CMs, Champ Manager.
I was playing ISS Pro Evolution Soccer 2 the other day. And legendary. There's a Legends, I don't know what it was called, not Classic, but it has like World 11s.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's Europe and then rest of the world. It's very good attacking-wise in the rest of the world, but the defence, and yeah, it's Chilavert in goal. And just, yeah, very much let me down in the match. I was very annoyed. But like,
was it Europe as in European-based players or European nationality players?
No, European nationality players. So, like, it had... Do you remember the Paraguayan right-back? Is there a Paraguayan right-back you can remember who'll be playing...
I
know the name.
Did he really play for Atletico Madrid?
I'm not sure he went. I'm not sure he came to Europe, actually.
Oh, I don't know then. Give us the name. I'm not going to get it. So,
it's Francisco Arce.
Oh, Francisco Arce. Yeah.
No, he never came to Europe. In fact, he only a bit of Brazilian, but went to Japan. Now a managerial career at he's now at Olimpia. Is that the Paraguayan side?
Okay.
Love South America. Yes, they have players like that. I had Ayala, Walter Samuel, Roberto Carlos. Yeah, good players. Rocoba, Rivaldo.
What year was that? What year was ISS 2?
It's going to be late 90s, I think. 99, something like that.
There's got to be a better goalkeeper and right back to make the rest of the world 11 that isn't a European nationality.
Yeah, there was Javier Zanetti, who's kind of get deployed in other areas. But goalkeepers...
Dida?
You've obviously, or it would have been just after Taffarel, wouldn't it? But it's...
Yeah, okay. She'll have Asia Man.
Not great.
She'll have Asia Man. All right. Okay, going back to the Premier League.
The comfort blanket of the Premier League.
Yeah. Which club were bottom of the table on Christmas Day 2022 but managed to survive at the end of the season?
Oh my goodness. So they're still in the Premier League now.
Correct.
So Nottingham Forest went on quite a good run near the end. And I would have thought they started poorly, but they did end up scoring. I'm going to go Nottingham Forest.
Incorrect.
Ah.
Do you want another? I'll give you another guess. It's not a one and done quiz show. It's a free for all, to be honest.
Now the next team that sprung to mind was Everton. Sean Dyche coming in part way through, keeping them up, is my next guess.
Incorrect. The correct answer was Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Was it?
And as a follow on question, which it actually is in my quiz, who was the manager that kept them up?
Oh God, I was about to say Gary O'Neill, but he's the current manager. Julian Lopetegui?
It is Julian Lopetegui. There you go. So we'll give you.
So who started? Oh, it was the Portuguese guy, obviously. Yeah. Oh, who started as manager? Oh my God, it was Jose Sá, the goalkeeper in my head. do you know his name?
No. I was hoping you would say it. It's not Nuno Espirito Santo, is it?
No, definitely not.
Oh, really tall. He was really tall.
Long face. Like
really
horse.
Long face, yeah. Oh my god, what's his name? You're gonna have to Google it, I think.
Even appearing in the top lists there. Literally, I googled it and the top one, Mick McCarthy, no, Nuno Lopetegui. He's not in that list. Let's have a look. Someone's screaming at the audio right now.
Yeah, they are.
Ah, Bruno Lage.
Bruno Lage, yeah, Bruno Lage. That's it. So, okay. All right, so our knowledge of Wolves managers is pretty terrible, but you did get one of them right out of the two. It was Julian Lopetegui that kept them up. Moving into this season, the beginning of this season, so should be relatively fresh in your memory, I reckon. Which team had to postpone their first home game of the season due to building works?
Oh, that's fortunate. That's Luton Town, that is.
It is Luton Town. What's their home ground called?
Oh, I don't know that.
I know this one. Kenilworth Road. Thoughts on Luton and how they're doing so far this season?
You know what? They're doing all right. They had a bit of a ropey start and they started off a bit poorly and lose a few games, but they've been holding... Not holding their own, but they've not been embarrassing defeats.
Yeah, I mean, there was discussions early on in the season, right, about the Derby record, and then they've escaped that chat.
I feel like re-watching that season, going and just working out how bad Derby were, because, I mean, Luton getting promoted was quite out there, but how bad were Derby? Like, oh, I watched it, and yeah.
I'd love to see it back. Who was the manager of Derby when they got that record point up?
Was it Paul Jewell?
No, Jim Smith.
Jim Smith,
Baldy Jim
Smith. I want to say Kenny Miller. Kenny was Miller. Leading the line.
God, bloody hell.
Any other players you remember that? I think so.
I would say, wouldn't they be like that really chavvy looking kid? Oh my God, what's his name?
Who is that chavvy looking kid, Dave?
It's going to really bug me with his name. He was like a one season wonder the season before. Malcolm Christie.
11. I won once.
Once, bloody hell. Yeah, Malcolm.
I'm pretty sure Malcolm they Christie. Beat and drew with Newcastle that season, which is so. Kenny Miller scoring the only goal in a 1-0 win against Newcastle. Yeah, they beat and Ashley Barnes was it? Not Ashley Barnes. Giles Barnes wasn't
Giles
it?
Giles Barnes. Yeah, Giles Barnes.
So their side had some players here. Alan Stark, Emmanuel Villa. I'm going to pick the foreign players. Eddie Lewis, Claude Davis, Emil Starovski, don't know him.
No.
Giles Barnes, Tyrone Mears, Darren Moore. Robbie Savage was captain.
Let's see how.
Robbie Earnshaw
was there. I don't remember that either.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah.
Roy Carroll was letting in the goals, maybe.
Bloody hell. All right, anyway, let's move on. Sticking with the Premier League, this season, again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, August was a long time ago. It was a long time ago. You're an old man, Josh. Your memory's not what it used to be.
It's not, no.
But who won the Goal of the Month award in August and is the first ever player to win it from that nation?
Ooh. Now, I know Spurs won a few awards
at
the start
Spurs.
Of the season. No, it's not Spurs. Okay.
I would focus on the potential nationality. He's not the only nationality of players to play in the Premier League, but he is the only nationality player of that nationality to win Goal of the Month. And think about who, I would agree with you, who started well in August. A team that everyone were surprised of last season. And have a very fanciful manager.
Oh.
Very popular talk for is this manager.
And it's not Spurs.
And it's not Spurs.
Popular manager in the Premier League. Brighton. De Zerbi.
Correct.
Mitoma. Scored a great goal, didn't he?
Mitoma is the winner of the Premier League. And I had to double check this because I thought Shinji Kagawa had won a Goal of the Month for Man United. But he didn't. So Mitoma is the only Japanese player to win Goal of the Month in the Premier League, and he did it last August. So that was probably one of the tougher questions in the quiz.
He's surprisingly old, is Mitoma.
He's 27, isn't he?
27 in May. Yeah. Yeah. Just, it's obviously come to it all a bit late, but yeah.
Yeah. Brighton Scouting Network is superb as well. If you've got the new Football Manager, by the way, load up Brighton and just look at all the people they've got out on loan and how good they are. It is ridiculous what the level of youngsters they've got coming through. And I trust.
So you think they're here to stay?
I think they're here to stay. Yeah, or here to make lots of money. Sell them all on for lots and lots of money. Talking of lots and lots of money, to the closest £5 million. How much did Jude Bellingham cost Real Madrid? Not including add-ons. So just the cash they paid.
In pounds. I thought he was a £100 million player. So I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to say £100 million.
Right.
Hoping that he's somewhere within 5 million of that.
So it was 100 million euros. So you're not that bad, I'd say. It was £85 million was the cash.
Oh.
And then with add-ons took it to £109 million. So not bad. I think you've had a pretty good guess, I'd say. And Jude Bellingham is a £100 million player. And chatting earlier, obviously Enzo Fernandez. Would you rather have Enzo Fernandez or Jude Bellingham? You'd take Jude.
Jude Bellingham, yeah.
You'd take Jude.
It's going to win the Euros for us.
Yeah, let's see if Southgate releases him, allows him to play. Let's see. Josh, going back to the podcast, you described your perfect hat trick. Can you please repeat what your perfect hat trick was? What was your perfect hat trick?
I've got a feeling.
Probably one of the funniest episodes I think I've ever laughed the most when we've recorded. But what was your perfect
My thought process is, think of the shittest hat trick you can think of, and it's probably what I guessed. It's something like just guiding home a left-footed shot, a right-footed penalty, and then a diving header or something like that.
Right, you're so close, because what you had was a right-footed penalty to start it off. That was your first goal. Was a right-footed
penalty. Dream big, Josh.
Yeah, dream big. Next, you went a header at the back post, and you didn't stipulate a distance, you just said a header at the back post. And then to finish
when you say
off,
back post, you already think it's close though.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you think it's like flicked on at the front post, you're just nodding it in at the back post.
Yeah.
And then to finish it off for your perfect hat trick, you literally said a scuffed left footed shot. So Josh's perfect hat trick was basically Dirk Kuyt. Is how we summed it up. Scoring.
It wasn't great. There's going to be a hat trick out there like that, and I'm going to watch it and think, "Ooh, that is beautiful."
Well, it was probably Nicholas Jackson for Chelsea, right? This season, didn't he score a hat? It was the worst hat trick ever scored. I think it got described that. But
he's not good.
Oh yeah. Anyway, back to the Premier League. So, which player made the most completed passes in the Premier League this season to date? This is up to date because I checked it on the Premier League stats, and also topped the charts for the whole of last season. And I'll give you a clue. It's a defender.
So, first player actually sprang to mind, but because this is cumulative, it's not going to be him because he spends far too many times suspended. Christian Romero, I know, had a game where he completed our most ever passes ever for a Spurs player. I'm not sure if it translates league-wide, so I'm guessing it's not Christian Romero.
It's not Christian Romero. It was very surprising when I got this stat.
So passing, you're thinking dominate the ball. You think Man City, but Man City do rotate their players quite a bit.
It's not Man City.
So you're thinking someone dominating the ball but playing all the time. Arsenal don't typically rotate too much.
It's good logic. It's good logic so far. It's not Arsenal. But you're using the correct logic, yeah.
Yeah, but then Arsenal had Saliba got injured, and so Arsenal. So therefore, I'm thinking Brighton playing a lot of passes. Talisman captain Lewis Dunk.
It is Lewis Dunk, yeah. It is Lewis Dunk. Great Sherlock Holmes-esque initiative and logic. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Excellent TV series, by the way. If you've never watched it,
what, the Sherlock BBC one, Sherlock Holmes?
Yeah, yeah.
With Benedict.
Yeah, Benedict and Martin Freeman, yeah.
Yeah, going back to something we spoke about off camera, it's a series I go back and watch as a comfort blanket.
Oh, it's lovely.
Very often, yeah. Very, very good. You mentioned him earlier in the podcast, Josh. The next question, Who did Sean Dyche replace as Everton manager?
Ooh. Oh, it'll be Frank Lampard.
It is Frank Lampard. Well done. Yeah, I thought that could be a little bit of a tricky one because it's very easy to forget Frank Lampard as a manager.
Will we see him back in management? I presume he's not doing anything right now.
I assume he's off to the Saudi. They'll give him a job.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Steve Gerrard's burned those bridges. True. Yeah. Oh, he had a job after that, didn't he?
Caretaker at Chelsea?
Yeah.
Before Poch?
Yeah. Wow. Where he did shit again.
Yeah. Well, he's a terrible manager, so yeah.
Let's have a look what do you reckon his win percentage is as a manager?
Overall, it must be like he had a good run with Derby, so I'd say that pushes him into the 20s, but your face suggests it'll be below 15%.
No. So it's not bad overall. 41%.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's more than I thought.
42% Derby, 52% Chelsea, 27% Everton. And across 11 games of Chelsea, he won one match, 9% of his caretaker stint.
Wow.
One win, two draws, 11 losses. That is shite.
That is horrendous, yeah. That is absolutely horrendous. Okay, we'll keep this going because we're on a bit of a roll. Going back to the podcast, we had an episode on cult heroes. And we named quite a few, and we went through different clubs and things like that. Which Uruguayan striker did I say was a cult hero at Man United, and why?
You've had two, as far as I can recall. One of your youth players, Uruguayan, like Pelestri.
Pelestri, yeah, we signed him from Uruguay. And actually, it was a signing recommended by this player, or former player.
It always helps when you have players from that country. I think it creates a kind of... Like Spurs with Argentinian players, for example, I think because of Ricky Villa and Ozzy Ardiles, then creates that kind of foundation for it. I'm going Diego Forlan.
Correct.
I think he must have scored against Liverpool.
He scored two against Liverpool, and it was his first goals in the league for the club, where Jerzy Dudek went to clutch the ball, dropped it in between his own legs, and he put it in an open net. Celebrated by taking his shirt off like a madman. He was manager. He was managing in Uruguay and recommended that Man United sign Pelestri from Peñarol, I think it is, in Uruguay.
At the time of recording, Man U Liverpool hasn't happened, so you're hoping for two goals from Pelestri for his first two in the league?
Well, I'll take a 0-0. I'll take anything below a 4-0 battering, I think, so...
Really? Is that the level of confidence you're at?
We're going to get absolutely smashed. It's at Anfield. We're terrible at the moment. I think it's so low expectations. Anything that happens good will be good.
Is there any scoreline that gets Ten Hag sacked?
I think if there wasn't the ongoing Sir Jim Ratcliffe 25% buyout, anything 3-0 or worse, he gets sacked. But I think it's going to take like another 7-0 and then he'll get sacked. He will get sacked immediately. But I don't think they'll do anything till Jim Ratcliffe's in. I think they're happy not to rock the boat, the Glazers, at the moment. But yeah. Okay, so you've got another one, right? We've only got four questions left, so we'll carry on going and get this done. Argentina won the World Cup. They started that campaign with a loss. Who was it against?
Shock loss against Saudi Arabia.
It was. I don't know why you said it so.
Did you not say it like that?
No. Just say Saudi Arabia. So.
Saudi Arabia. Yeah. Arabian Nights and Great Arabian
film.
Days.
Great film.
Name of film.
Aladdin.
Yeah. That was actually a really good match.
It was
a really good open match.
Yeah, it was a very good match. Last season. One player.
Hold on.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, kind of. Yeah. I just thought you were just stepping outside.
No. We're still within the limits. At the back end of last season, in 2023, to clarify the question, a player scored with his left foot. Name me that player. No. A player scored with his left foot, and that made him overtake Robbie Fowler for the most left-footed goals in the Premier League. Who was it?
I'm guessing it's Harry Kane.
Incorrect.
Oh, what? Really?
Yeah, it's not Harry Kane. I would say it's a left-footed player.
Yeah. Who recently scored his 200th goal for Liverpool, his 150th Premier League goal. Quite frankly, just a ridiculous player.
Yeah.
Mo Salah.
It is Mo Salah, yeah. Never, why is he never talked about in the upper echelons of players?
I don't know, because he is ridiculous.
He's ridiculously good. His consistent output year upon year upon year is ridiculous.
Which I find all the more there's merit, because it wasn't there before, and he wasn't young. He was like, must have been like 24 or something when he arrived from Fiorentina. He was putting out some good numbers previously in Serie A, but like, not nowhere near like half of what he's doing at Liverpool. And Klopp and Firmino and Mane are the perfect storm for it. But he's just been relentless, really good.
Do you think, talking about football for a second, do you think, because the rumours were, right, that Saudi were going to be big for him in the summer, it didn't happen, and they were going to come back in January and it was going to be big. Liverpool can't afford to sell him in January, right? They've got to keep him for the rest of the season.
Especially as they're now vying for the title, they're right in the mix.
That's what I was thinking. Interesting. Okay. Again, last season. It might have been this season, actually. I can't remember where this question's based. It might have been the end of last season.
This year.
At some point this season, a team won a league game having only 18% possession across the whole game. Who was it? Bonus point.
Oh my goodness.
In what, who the opposition were that dominated the ball and lost.
18% is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I know that Everton over the last few games have not had any game they've won, they've not had over 40% possession or something like that. And I'll just say right now, I don't like it. I don't like that type of football. Sean Dyche is now the new Sam Allardyce.
Right.
Except it's not as exciting because he's not buying 35-year-old World Cup winners. That's what's exciting. So I don't like it.
I'll give you a little hint. I think you would have liked this result.
Spurs didn't do it. There's no chance we did that. But they beat Arsenal.
They beat Arsenal.
Now, Arsenal have lost not many times this season. They lost to Newcastle and lost to Aston Villa, I think.
Okay, so it must be last season then.
Last season then. Who would they have absolutely dominated? Look at the league. Brentford. Brentford, I don't mind playing that way.
Final answer?
Final answer, Brentford.
Incorrect. Nottingham Forest.
Oh, really? Had 18% possession. When he was doing his thing, and Morgan Gibbs-White.
Yeah. 18% possession, and they beat Arsenal, which is absolutely crazy. Shout out
for Nottingham Forest. Player I wasn't familiar with, Ryan Yates. For Nottingham Forest, absolute shit.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Just a thug, just going around, not good enough at that level. Also, I'd say referees seem to have stopped this now. Remember, in the first few months of the season, waving the imaginary yellow card?
Yeah.
He did it. Didn't get booked. Got the other player booked. What's going on there?
But now,
every season, ref seem to go, well, let's go hard for the first 10 games and then we'll ease off. It's like, no.
Interestingly, right, if there is a foul and the player does get booked for it, the referee thinks it's a booking as a foul, and the opposition player is still gone, well, book him, you've got to give him a yellow, does the imaginary waving of a card. Well, if it is a booking, then should he book both players?
Should definitely book both players. If that's the rule, you can't wave your mate, because...
Yeah. Just ask.
Definitely. Book them both. No, in fact, out of pettiness, I just put the person who waved the imaginary yellow.
Oh, yes. I want you as a referee.
That's the kind of guy I am.
Yeah, I want you as a referee. That would be brilliant. Right. Final question, Josh. And obviously, the final question is going to be about our podcast. And this, you've got to really, really, really think back. Because we talked about live football, as in being in a stadium watching football. Mm-hmm. And I told you at the time, the last home team that I saw live in a football match. That hasn't changed since that podcast. So who was that team?
So effectively, the stadium you were at, the home... And so you say it wasn't like a friendly event, it was a competitive match because the team was playing...
At home. Yes, to answer your question, yes, it was a competitive game.
Now, the way you've said it makes me think it's not in England. But the only other country... I was going to say the only other country, but you'd like to go to stadiums, but do you get to watch matches in stadiums? So, for example, you like go to Slovenia or something and watch a match, or do you just go to the stadium?
Oh, Oh, he's really thinking. I wish we had the webcams on the corner in here. He's like twiddling his
dash. I know you've also watched a match at Camp Nou, I think. But that would have been years ago.
The last home team I watched play.
And you don't particularly enjoy Singaporean football, so I'm guessing it's not in Singapore.
This is the joy of the last question of the quiz.
I'm going to guess that it's Arsenal.
Why are you guessing Arsenal? The last time
I know to... you've been to Emirates, haven't you? You've seen, no, you've seen Arsenal.
I've been to Highbury when I was like 12.
Oh, shit. Oh.
Have another guess. Have another go. Use your logic that you did for the other previous questions.
Oh, there's just a lot less to pull from here, though. Can you give me a clue? Do they play in a top five league?
No.
Shit. Ben K. Maribor.
No. I haven't been to Slovenia for a number of years. It's not since I've lived in Singapore.
Are they?
I've lived in Singapore for nearly 6 years, and I've watched this team play at home in the last 6 years.
In Asia?
I'm not saying where it is. It's not in a top five league.
Lift my lid.
Shall I put you out of your misery?
No. Give me more clues.
I own their home kit.
Oh, for goodness sakes, David.
I'm trying to think of clues. It's in Europe.
In Europe. Is it in Croatia?
No. It's in the UK.
It's in Wales?
It's in England.
Is it in Folkestone?
It's in Folkestone. Oh. Folkestone and Victor, with you.
Yeah. Oh, damn it. I'd somewhat discounted that. I immediately thought there'd have been a league like match for you, like, well, a professional match that you'd have seen.
Yeah.
No. What's the last professional match you've seen then?
Oh, does it have to be competitive? Competitive. Okay. Yeah. Last competitive.
Professional match.
Professional match. Probably would have been a Man United game at Old Trafford before I moved to Singapore. God, that's really got me noggin thinking. The last live football I've watched has been three Folkestone and Victor games. And I think all three of them I went with you. Mm. Before that, as in a proper...
You've watched some friendlies over in Singapore, haven't you?
I've had friendlies over here, but I've not seen any competitive professional football. It must be a Man United game at Old Trafford. Just before I moved, it must be. It would have been... Telalight would have been whilst I was living in Singapore. No, just before I moved. Man United, when we won the Europa League, we played Celta Vigo in the semi-final under Jose Mourinho. That would have been my last professional competitive game that I watched, I think. Yeah, I think that's what it would have been. Because I also watched the St Etienne one before that with a friend of mine that lived in Singapore at the time. He flew over and we met at the stadium, watched that. And then I went back, 3 weeks later and watched the first leg of the second leg. No, second leg of the final. And Fellaini scored to put us through with a classic elbows out header at that post.
Yeah. Do you think Scott McTominay is the new Fellaini?
Yes, I do. I think he's just as rubbish on the ball, but somehow scores goals.
Yeah. He's probably net worse for the team in terms of functioning them.
Yeah, definitely.
But unfortunately, pops up with goals, so it kind of goes, you're leaving him out, aren't you?
I'd still leave him out. I don't think we can against Liverpool. We've got no options. But that is the quiz, Josh. No idea what your total final score was, but if you were to rate that quiz out of 16, what would you give it?
Oh, I'd say at least 13 out of 16.
Oh, good, mate. Thank you. I'll take that. Yeah. That's a very solid pass.
Definitely passed. Yeah.
Excellent. I do love quizzes. I like researching the questions.
I would like to host a football quiz.
Yeah?
A pub football quiz. Problem would be the people you get attending.
So interestingly, here in Singapore, I am going to be hosting a pub football quiz for our football team. And our pub that sponsors us, and they've said we can have like the microphone and stuff like that, and we can have our own football team and invite others if we want to. So I've got to write a whole football quiz, which will be 16 questions around, because that's now a thing. And and then
picture round, you can do like take the details off a badge and which badge is this. Ooh, you can obviously do a Wikipedia excerpt for 10 different players.
Oh, yeah.
You can do a line up and take out players. You could do.
I'm gonna rag your brain. Yeah, we'll do this sort of together, and then I can say it's sponsored by the Wikipedia Wanderers podcast.
Yeah,
for free advertisement. Didn't think of that. Yeah. There we go. Get that out there. Right. Yeah. So it's now Christmas break. So there won't be an episode next week because it's Christmas and I'm on holiday and you'll be spending time with your family. So we'll be back in the new year, I think, with a bit of a mix of formats. We're not really too sure what we're doing at the moment with the podcast. We're just doing what we enjoy, to be honest. And you can do the next quiz whenever you're ready. I can
do a quiz for you, yeah.
Get a bit of a quiz going, and I think that's how we go from. But thank you so much for listening. We'll leave it there. Merry Christmas to all of our listeners. Merry Christmas to you, Josh.
Merry Christmas.
And, everyone have a good one, and we'll speak to you in the new year. Thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.